This is a new episode of the LCJ Q&A podcast. I'm Lights Camera Jackson. Hope you're doing well. Brand new animated movie for families premiering May 21st, this Thursday on DirecTV Cinema, coming to VOD June 19th. It is Stardog and Turbo Cat. Joining me right now is the director, Ben Smith. Ben, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I really enjoyed this film. It is fun. I think families will really like it, and I think especially those who have DirecTV Cinema. How do you feel about this kind of month-early premiere that's going to be on DirecTV for this film in just a couple of days?
Well, we're really excited about it. This is a comparatively low-budget, British-produced animated film. So to get such a wide release in the U.S. Is a bit of a win for us. And to be honest, I think when we made the film, when we started doing this a few years ago, we didn't really anticipate or plan on getting such a significant release in North America. So we're really delighted about it.
Yeah, but the cast is huge and the story is really appealing. I want to give everybody the setup a little bit. The dog, Buddy, he goes up to space in 1969 and he comes back down to Earth 50 years later, and then a lot ensues from there. Were you always interested in space and animals and kind of wanting to bring them together?
We had wanted to do a movie for many years, and the starting point of this was the whole superhero pets angle.
Mm.
And for many years, we had this kind of idea of a superhero dog and a superhero cat in the back of our minds. And, you know, a superhero dog who's really excited and enthusiastic about helping everybody and can't help running off to do it. And then a superhero cat who's a bit lazy, and he might help you, or he might not. It kind of depends on how he feels about it. And these just seem to be really great characters that you could kind of think, well, you know, this is the sort of thing that you could run for 80 minutes in a movie with. But I think the jumping off point for the story was, you know, kind of you were saying to yourself, well, how did this superhero dog get his powers? And the idea that, well, what if he was launched into space back in the 60s and something mysterious happens? And when he crash lands back on the Earth, he develops superpowers, and he just kind of took flight from there.
Cool, yeah, because the characters are really fun, and they're voiced by Nick Frost and Luke Evans, their greatest Buddy and Felix, because it's not their normal voices, and that's what impressed me about listening to the two of them. They're doing character voices. Did you always envision them doing character voices?
I'll be honest, when we did this, and it was the casting for the two main leads was something that we were only able to do once the film had been greenlit and it was actually in production.
Mm.
And we looked around a lot, we asked a lot of people, and I'll be honest, by the time we found Luke and Nick for those two roles, we needed to do it quite desperately. We were sort of getting to the point where we're like, well, we really need to get on and record this. And it wasn't until we actually got them into the recording booth, and they came in independently, they never even met each other, that you realized that they were absolutely spot on for it. Nick Frost is a Londoner. You would have seen him in, like, Hot Fuzz,
oh, yeah,
Dawn of the Dead, and most recently in Fighting With My Family. And he comes in, and we just sort of... And we said to him, you know, have you ever done a U.S. accent in anything? Because we looked on YouTube, and we couldn't find anything where he'd done a U.S. accent. And he was like, no, never done it. Give it a go. And he goes into the booth, and then this sort of funny little pipsqueak, you know, squeaky clean American voice comes out of him. And we were just like, it is just perfect. Luke Evans, and of course, I'm conscious of the fact that you're in the U.S., and you will have seen Luke Evans in movies like The Hobbit, and he was in that Midway movie recently.
Yeah.
He's, of course, actually Welsh. And when you meet him, he's got a Welsh accent, and he talks like this, and he's a very nice boy from the Valley. But, you know, his screen persona is US, and so he kind of gives us this amped-up version of his kind of US screen persona, and we had to push him quite hard. Saying to me, look, you know, this is a cartoon. You make it ridiculous. You overact. It's a bit of a pantomime. You know, push it further than you think it really ought to go. But they were both absolutely fantastic, and it was one of those things. It wasn't until we had recorded them that we sat back and went, we could not have found two better people to do these roles.
Yeah, they're great to listen to. They are. And I like, there's a scene early on where there's a sign you see in the town Glenfield that signifies, you know, watch out for goldfish. And you kind of think, how could a goldfish be dangerous? It's in a bowl. But when we find out that it's an actual character, Bullion, that's a really great payoff. How was it choosing the different animals to represent the characters and some of the supporting characters in the film?
Well, you just kind of thought to yourself, well, you know, once the story became focused on the idea of pets, well, what kind of pets do people have? And I'm always leaning towards the absurd. And so the idea of a goldfish who's permanently trapped in his bowl, but who is convinced he's basically Mr. T and is like some sort of special weapons operative was just naturally appealing. And we, you know, it was one of those characters you just knew that you had a great little cameo performance on your hands. And then you just remember. And we did actually give him some more material when we were animating. We actually came up with some more stuff for him to do because he was just so funny.
Yeah. And I like Bill Nighy, too. He's great as Sinclair the Robot Butler.
Yeah, and he was, what a thrill to work with him. And he came in and he sort of did, and you know, he wasn't in the recording booth very long, just a couple of hours to do that part. But was such a fantastic, just did it and just, you know, embodied this character very easily.
I've been to a lot of the old-fashioned small towns with, you know, one main street, one cinema that you represent in the film. What inspiration did you draw from to create Glenfield?
Well, we're in the UK, and this is the interesting thing, is we're in the UK, and we knew from the get-go this film had to be set in the US, because the joke was, these are superheroes, but they are animals. And it didn't then make sense if they were British, or because, you know, the superheroes aren't British, superheroes are American, and you know, if they were superheroes but they're animals and they're British, it kind of broke it for me. So it had to be set in the US, and I think we just kind of leaned on what for us is kind of a received wisdom of small town America. I mean, I have been to places like that, but only very briefly. So it's kind of very much based on the kind of, you know, what we perceive of that from the media. But I think the important thing for us was that it was a small town. And it was very knowable. We didn't want it to be set. This was not an epic story that takes place in a metropolis.
Right.
It's kind of a pint-sized story with pint-sized heroes, and it takes place in a small, very knowable place with a limited cast of people. Somewhere where, you know, everybody knows everybody else, and that you kind of feel that you understand the scope of it.
Yeah, I definitely related to a lot of the visual details from it. And you get a lot of details, too, with the TurboCat car and the lair with all of the monitors. How was it designing those and kind of throwing some nods to Batman and some of those other superhero sagas?
Yeah, that kind of stuff is just fun. That's the bit that's just fun, you know. And you go to work and you have to brief somebody and say, okay, I need you to design TurboCat's car and his hoverboards and his weird ray gun thing. And, you know, that stuff's just fun. Once we'd found the kind of visual style, and, you know, it helps here that the whole point of this Turbo character is he's over the top, and he's just doing it to show off.
He does. And we find out that Felix's secret life, besides being TurboCat, the real reason that he pays the bills is being a YouTube star. I think it's really funny that you incorporate that. My favorite line of the film, Stardog and TurboCat, DirecTV Cinema, May 21, my favorite line of the film is when he says, no one can resist the spot of light. And that's funny, and then there's a lot of meanings to that. Are you personally obsessed with all of those YouTube cat videos?
I am not. I am not the YouTube generation. I'm a bit too old for that. But it is something that I am deeply conscious of and that pops across my radar every now and again. The guys who animated those little skits, YouTube skits, because they were, you know, very much that generation, and they were coming to me saying, oh, we have to do this one with the cucumber. We have to do this other one with this piano or something. And I was like, oh, okay, you've researched this a little bit too much here. But, you know, that kind of stuff is just fun.
But you got it right. You absolutely got it right. Ben Smith is my guest right now on the LCJ Q&A. Now, you also voice David, Buddy's owner. And that's a key role for several reasons. Did you intentionally cast yourself for this role?
Well, the deal with that was this film was in development for a very long time. This is us as an animation studio. So I wrote and directed this film. I'm also the co-director of the studio that made it, this company called Red Star in the UK. And we had wanted to do an animated film for several years. So we basically storyboarded the whole thing as one of the things we did to try and convince the people that we could actually make a feature. We storyboarded the whole thing. And so there was a version of this that was entirely done with drawings and where I did all the voices. I was playing all the characters and doing all the voices. Some of those are easier than others. One of the roles was voicing Buddy's owner, David. And then it was just a case of, well, that sounds pretty good. There's not really much point in going and finding somebody else to play that because it's kind of something I can do. So we just kind of ran with it. And there's a bit in the film where you hear the character talking over a phone. And that was actually recorded in my home office, on my £5 microphone or something, because you can do that kind of stuff when it was going to be distorted over a phone. It's just nice to contribute in another way.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a nice sense of heart and warmth to the film, especially towards the end. And you've established this world with fun characters and this story for kids and adults to be able to latch on to. You got this film made. It's going to be very successful, I think, here in the U.S. Where do you see this franchise going from here?
Well, you use the operative word. You use the word franchise. And, we say we wanted to make an animated film. We wanted to do something that was going to clearly be appealing to kids and family audiences. We found that, I was slightly surprised that no one else had really done this before, superhero animals. And the goal was always to put a mark in the sand and say that this clearly is the first part of an entertainment franchise aimed at kids and families, a superhero franchise squarely aimed at kids and families about superhero animals. And we already have a couple of other films in development. There's one we're working on at the moment called The Farmyard 4, which is about a team of superhero animals on a farm. And I think there is an opportunity here to create an interconnected universe of superhero animal movies. And it would be great because one of the reasons for doing this film was that, and this is going back about 5-6 years now, when my daughter, who is now 8, when she was about 2, she was coming home from nursery, and if I was reading like a magazine or something, and there was a picture of Batman, she would point at it, she'd go, "Batman, Spider-Man," and you're like, "You're 2 years old, you know who Batman is," and you realize that even very, very young kids, they get superheroes because they're just so visually clear. It's like it's not just some guy wearing a suit. It's Batman. It's such a strong visual image. Spider-Man, just so distinctive. And then you realize small children can't watch Batman movies. They're far too mature for kids. And even sort of the Batman cartoons that they make are too grown up for small children. And I was just like, wouldn't it be great if there was a superhero franchise that was just completely suitable for the family and that you could share it with your kids? And if you were excited about seeing one of these movies, it was something you could take the whole family to. And we sort of mixed that with a big dollop of silliness and came up with this.
Wow. What a great story. What a great concept you've come up with. I love the fact that this could be a universe of superhero animal movies for animation rivaling the Marvel and DC cinematic universes. This is great. Really, it is. Stardog and Turbo Cat. DirecTV Cinema has it first, Thursday, May 21st, this Thursday, and it's on more VOD and digital platforms on June 19th. Ben, thank you so much for being on the LCJ Q&A today.
Thank you. I mean, it's kind of weird. This film for us is kind of, it's kind of old news because we did this. We finished this August last year. And we've, got on with the rest of our lives. This US deal has sort of taken a while to come around. I'm delighted with how, you received the film very warmly, and I'm delighted about it. And the first thing you said in your piece there was, you said, it's fun. And that was the thing. You just want to make a fun film with a good message for kids. And to say something, we're quite happy that, you could take the whole family to see this.
I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. For more, check out lights-camera-jackson.com, Twitter at LCJ Reviews, and Instagram at LightsCamJackson. See you next time on the LCJ Q&A.